In today's episode, we are going to be looking at the New Orleans Pelicans, looking at them from a dynasty point of view. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We are continuing on with the Dynasty series by looking at the New Orleans Pelicans today. So let's get straight into looking at the New Orleans Pelicans as we move forward. And of course, the number one guy that we're going to look at here is Zion Williamson. It has to be Zion Williamson. We have only seen 19 games of him in the NBA. He hasn't even played 30 minutes a game, and he's averaged 24 points and 7 rebounds. He's shot 59% from the field, now only 65% from the line, a true shooting of still 62%. There is plenty of room for him to grow. He hasn't been a top 100... He has barely been a top 100 player on a per-game basis, the 95th ranked player so far. But to come in at age 19, play 19 games, and average already 24 points per game on a ludicrous 62% true shooting, it's a massive, massive start. Now, there are clear issues here. If you're punting free throws, he's probably pushing top 60 because he was at 65% on 8 attempts, and that was a Z score in that category of negative 3. So that is a huge, huge negative. So take that away, or if he improves that over the course of his career, and I don't know that he will to a massive degree. Will he ever become an 80% free throw shooter? Probably not. Can he get to Blake Griffin-esque 77, 76? Maybe. That would help. But the free throw attempts are already there. We need a lot more, though, from Zion to push into the top five, which I do think he can do in a couple of seasons. So where does that come from? Now, he has attempted very few threes. He's hit them at 46%, but only 0.7 threes attempted per game, which is not enough. So that needs to improve. Only 2.2 assists. I think he can get peak to 4.5 assists. But the thing that's really let him down so far is defense. Now, he came out of college, Zion did, with absolutely monster steal numbers and monster block numbers. And you thought if they could translate to some degree, he would be a top 20 player as soon as this season and would push to the top five. That has not happened so far. Block numbers for centers often coming out of college don't translate all that well. We saw that with someone like OG Anunoby. We're seeing it with Zion. How can that translate across? Because he's at 0.8 steals and half a block, which is nowhere near enough to be impactful. That is what needs to happen for him to push into that next level for fantasy greatness. Now, his POPM is already huge, plus 1.89. He's second on this team in on-off data. He leads this team, plus 8.5. Second on this team, interestingly, is Derek Favors, a guy that was shit on all season, but was massively important to this Pelicans team. Not saying that Zion-Favors combination works all that well, but I also do think that the Pelicans got worse when they started playing Melly and Zion together more and limiting what Favors was doing. I don't think that actually helped their team win, as clunky as that Favors and Williamson fit may appear to be. I think it actually does lead to more winning basketball, but that's beyond the point here. What we're looking at with Zion is, where can he get better? Well, the scoring that's already there. Can he be a 30-point per game guy? Easily. He's already at 24. 7 rebounds. We had Favors grabbing 10 boards per game, which had an impact on Zion there as well. Can he be a 9-rebound player? Not a problem. It's just going to be those peripherals. It's going to be, can he hit threes at 1 a game, 1.5 a game? Can he get his free throws from 65 to 75? Can he get to 1.3 steals and 1.2 blocks? That's what he needs to do to be a top 15, top 10 player. All of those things individually happening, it's not crazy. You can see them all happening, but having them all happen together is what separates the average player, the good player, versus the elite player. Now, Zion is, I think, going to be an elite player. So I think he can do all of those things. But of course, there is the risk of injury with him. I'm not as worried about that as others are, but there is still a risk there. We saw him miss all these games this season already, 40-plus games already this year. So that is a concern. And if those other things don't come around, then he doesn't become as valuable a player as we want him to. I still think that he gets there. I still think we're looking at him as a top 10 player in the next 3 years pretty easily to me. If I was looking at valuing him in a dynasty format, that is where I would have him. But others may not agree. There may be people who have Zion who are looking to unload him because of injury risk, because the free throws haven't come in, because the defensive stats aren't there. I think that stuff will start to come, but there is a risk, especially with the defensive numbers, that it doesn't come in to the degree that we wanted to and that it needs to make him a top 5, top 10 long-term dynasty player. But an impressive start nonetheless, already almost unstoppable offensively with his scoring. Just need those free throws up. We need more threes. We need more defensive stats. And if those things come in, then he will be a pretty much unstoppable force. If you want to be an unstoppable force, you should check out Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars that you can find. These are unbelievably tasty. It tastes just like a candy bar, but it is, in fact, a protein bar. It doesn't taste like those regular ones that are just all sawdust and cement. This is a bar that is covered in 100% chocolate. They have 16 amazing different flavors. Mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, coconuts and orange and strawberry and raspberry. So many fantastic flavors. In fact, 8 of those 16 flavors are nut-free, processed at a nut-free facility, which is fantastic. Fantastic for those of you with allergies. It is great for those of us who are looking to shed the quarantine pounds that we've put on. Getting back to the gym and getting that low calorie, high protein bar is fantastic. This peanut butter brownie bar, 20 grams of protein, 170 calories. What a fantastic profile that is. Go to builtbar.com, and if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll save 10 bucks off your first order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Let's go on to the next player now that we're going to look at, and that is Lonzo Ball, who struggled a little bit to begin this season, but was absolutely rolling. And over the last 23 games, he was the 20th ranked player in fantasy. And I think people would be surprised to see exactly where Lonzo was during that time frame. 36 minutes a night, 13 points only, but hit 3 threes per game. For a guy that can't shoot, he hit 3 threes a game, 7 rebounds, 8.5 assists, 1.7 steals, 0.8 blocks. Yes, 43% from the field is relatively rough. 67% from the line is rough. Now, the difference there is he attempts 1 free throw a game. Zion Williamson shot 65% on 8 attempts. And the actual negative impact difference was about 8 times greater for Zion than it was for Lonzo Ball. So while they shoot the same free throw percentage, it's very easy to cover that from Lonzo. Very, very easy. Now, he's only at 57% overall. These are still huge improvements from where he was last year at 42% from the line. So taking a step up, over the last 23 games, he was 42% from his threes. Huge number. And 62% of his shots were three-pointers as well. So that is massive. Taking a lot of threes, hitting a lot. There was a stage where he got benched, which was ridiculous. But I think now people can see that he can be a starting point guard and he can be an elite fantasy player. And I've talked about him being a top 20 guy in the past. This is how it happens. 13, 7, and 8.5. Big steals, good blocks, good three-point volume. You're there. He's literally already at that number over the last half of the season. Now, he's only 48th over the course of the year because it did start off pretty rough and things weren't fitting exactly. But I think it's going to be unbelievable with him and Zion moving forward. I think we should be looking at him at minimum as a top 30 fantasy player as we move forward. He was a strong plus in terms of on-off, a strong plus defensively in PIPM, a really, really valuable player. Second overall on this team in wins added, equal with Brandon Ingram, which I think people would be surprised about. I really like what Zion could do. If he ever turned into a high-scoring player, which he never will, I don't think, but if he could go from 13 points to 18 points, actually, over his last 9 games, he averaged 15 points per game and was the 10th ranked player in that time frame. That's what we're looking at. 15, 7, and 8, 2 steals, a block, 3 dribbles. That's your 10th best player. That is the... And again, maintaining 15 points per game is not going to be easy for Zion. Not Zion, for Lonzo. But he can very comfortably be a top 20 player for the next 5 years. I feel really good in saying that. It could fall off pretty comfortably, but he has been shown huge, huge strides this season. Looks comfortable now with the Pelicans, and I think we should have a fairly high degree of confidence that he can be an elite level fantasy asset that we have seen over this, not insignificant sample size, but pretty strong performance, which again correlates to what I've seen from him at stretches with the Lakers and where I always thought he could get to. He's here now, so that's a great sign. Let's go on to the next bloke, and that is Brandon Ingram, who absolutely was the biggest surprise of the season. The 22nd ranked player over this year. He had never been inside the top 120 before, and that's not for lack of minutes, because he played 34 minutes a game each of the last two seasons. He's played the same amount this year, but what he did, his true shooting went from 56 last year to 59. His free throws went from 68% to 86%, an unheard of turnaround. His three-pointers went from 33 to 39%, but his three-point attempts went from under 2 to over 6, so tripling his three-point output while also shooting better. His two-point percentage stayed about the same. His assist numbers went from 3 to 4.3. His steal numbers doubled, and that was a big criticism I had of him, is that where there's no defensive numbers, but they came. So we saw him go from 0.63s to 2.4, from 18 points to 24 points, from 68 to 86 in his free throw percentage, doubled his steal numbers, just improvements right across the board. And I was really not critical of him, but said he's not going to continue to shoot 49% or 48% from three, which he was at the start of the season. And that was accurate. He still shot 39%, but the most impressive part there is the volume, the fact that he took the threes at that level. The free throws was also a weird, weird thing that happened. How do you just become a 20 percentage point better free throw shooter? But he did it. And I think at this point, we look at him as that player. The fit with Zion wasn't 100%. And over that same time frame where I looked at what Lonzo did, where he became the 20th best player, Ingram was the 40th best player there. He averaged 23 points. We saw his rebounding numbers drop with Zion and Lonzo getting more in action there. He still kept his steals up. He still kept his other numbers up, but his overall efficiency did dip during that time frame, and it went from 47% from the field down to under 45. So that is a little bit of why he fell off in the ranking numbers as well. And I think when we're looking at him, I don't view Ingram as necessarily a guaranteed top 20 guy moving forward. I think top 40 is fine. And if he had seasons where he's the 50th best player or the 30th best player over the next 3 to 4 years, that makes sense. I am still a little bit concerned about how it fits with Zion. In fact, over his last 9 games, he was the 57th ranked player. The usage fell off a little bit. The efficiency fell off a little bit. But yeah, encouragingly, he was able to keep up the steal rate, which is something that was a huge impact in him being as good as he was this season. So Ingram, while it was encouraging, there are still a little bit, I'm still a little bit concerned about what happens here over the rest of the way and how things go for him in future seasons. I've got no doubt that he's going to be back with the Pelicans as a restricted free agent next season. I don't think that's any worry there. But how it fits with Lonzo and with Zion moving forward, I think the shooting can maintain, but maybe not at 39%. He's at 35% over his last 20 games. So that had started to fall off. I think the free throws can keep up. I feel good about that. I think the three-point volume can keep up. I feel good about that. The passing, that's, you know, in that 4-5 assist mark, that's fine. It's just going to be usage, overall efficiency. Can that stuff keep up? And yeah, can it keep him in the top 20? Probably not. In the top 40, yes. But even then, I still think there'll be seasons where he isn't as good as Zion and he isn't as good as Lonzo from a fantasy point of view. But really, really strong stuff from Brandon Ingram to take that step forward. The next guy we look at is Josh the Hitman Hart, who was sort of all over the place this year. He finished the season 100, well, finished what's happened of the season, 131st, averaged 10 points in 27 minutes, 6.5 boards with 1 steal per game. Now, he gets no assists as a guard, 1.6 assists, but a really, really strong rebounder. He hit just 34% of his threes, but that was 2 threes a game. So realistically, his value came in his ability to hit some threes and to grab some rebounds. I thought he was a little bit all over the place. He had some strong runs, and he's one of those players. I like him as a player, but he's one of those players that you see him put a run together and people really jump all over him in fantasy, and they go, well, Josh Hart's now a top 80 player as we move forward. And I've never really thought that. He didn't really seem to ingratiate himself as much with Elvin Gentry as he should have, wasn't getting 30 minutes a game. He got that at the start of January, and then we saw that start to tail off with Zion around as well. And I think, yeah, fitting him alongside Williamson is going to be something that the Pelicans need to look at and how that makes sense. I don't know about Josh Hart as a long-term top 100 fantasy guy. I'm not sure he gets there. I think he can be a valuable rotation player. He is 25 years of age, so he's older than Lonzo, who's 22, and Ingram's only 22 as well. So he's at 3 years older there. Is he the perfect fit? With this squad coming off the bench, probably not. There's still JJ Redick there. There's Drew Holiday. How that all works. Would he be a starter next to Ingram and Ball at some point in the future? I'm not totally convinced about that either. But Hart put enough. He's had enough runs on the board where you go, we know he can be at least capable as a rotation player, but whether that can ever translate into anything more than being a short-term top 100 guy, I don't necessarily think we get there with Josh Hart, unfortunately. If you want to get somewhere, you can do that by getting that knowledge into your brain with Blinkist. My segues are terrible. Blinkist is not terrible. It is the opposite of terrible. It is one of the most useful apps on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop. What Blinkist does is it takes nonfiction books, 4 or 5 hours worth of reading, and condenses it down into the key takeaways in just 15 minutes. 15 minutes of reading, 15 minutes of listening. Blinkist gives you all of those key points that you need in just 15 minutes. So you can get and better yourself by getting all this information into your brain in small amounts of time. You fast track your learning with Blinkist as they get these non-fiction books and condense them for you. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed non-fiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try for free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off. But only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, on to the next player now, and that is Jackson Hayes, who showed some big dunks at Summer League, showed some form in the preseason, but overall, I don't think lived up to the hype that many thought. There were people who thought he was going to be the ideal fit next to Zion Williamson. I actually don't think that's true at all. I don't really like the fit with him next to Williamson because of the lack of shooting with both of those guys. Defensively, he's not really all that strong as a player because he's only 19 and he's quite fragile. He was a terrible rebounder in college, and that sort of led over to where he was in the NBA. But overall, I think he did what I expected him to do. But for a lot of people, I think that they would say that Jackson Hayes disappointed them because they were expecting, well, he's going to come in, he's going to play 27 minutes a night, 25 minutes a night straight away, and he's going to put up these numbers that make him a fantasy option. And that just isn't the case. When Favors was injured, we had Okafor injured, he did make some noise. He played 17 minutes a night, 8 points, 4 rebounds, a block, 66%. So you can see the building blocks there already. A block in 17 minutes is great. 66% shooting is great. Unfortunately, he was just 63% from the line. He was a better shooter than that in college. He grabbed just those 4 rebounds, which is not a good number for a center. Low assists, low steals, no threes, really low usage. I think he is a solid center in the future. Is he ever going to develop into a superstar? I don't believe so. He needs to get more strength. He needs to be a better rebounder. And I still have the worry about how it fits with Zion. Because we know Zion's there, and Zion's best position overall is going to be center. Can he fit next to them? Can you have a front court with Hayes and Williamson as your 4 and 5? I'm not sure you want to do it all that much. I think ideally you want to stretch 4 in there to play alongside Williamson, and that's why we saw Nicola Melli playing as much as he did. So I worry a little bit about what Jackson Hayes does, not only with the Pelicans, but in the NBA, is his ability to be a skinny rim protector. Does that mean that he tops out at Nerlens Noel type value? I think there's a chance of that. Now, I do think he can be better than what we've seen from Noel, assuming he steers clear of injury. But he just wasn't playing. Like, he was out of the rotation at the end of the season here, Hayes, before things kicked off. In the last 5 games, he played 4 minutes total, and that was in one game. And he just didn't play because we were seeing Williamson, Favors, Melli, even some Okafor chucked in there at times, and Hayes was out of that rotation. Now, of course, he's going to move into the rotation at some point as we move forward, and he probably will start in the next couple of years. He's only 20 years of age. But long term, I just worry about what sort of player he's going to be. What else can he bring? Can he hit threes? Can he be a better rebounder? Can he do some passing? Can he get that free throw percentage back on track? They're all the questions we have to ask with Hayes. when looking at his fantasy value. Now, if he could be a top 100 guy in 22 minutes. I think that's a real possibility for what Hayes is able to bring. But we're not there yet. He is far from a finished product. He's far from a guarantee to be a starting caliber player. But there are some absolutely positive indicators that he can be a good player as he moves forward and be a useful guy. Now, whether that's as a starter on this team or as a starter on a different team where he could actually fit a lot better, where he doesn't have to work with Zion Williamson, I still think we should be looking at him as a 3 or 4 year top 100 guy. But ever pushing into the top 100 or top 50 or top 40 probably seems a little bit of a stretch at this point for Jaxson Hayes. Let's go on to the next guy, and that is Kenrick Williams, who is a player that has a very similar archetype to many others that we've seen out there, that when he plays, yeah, good shit happens in general. Now, this year, it wasn't quite as good for Kenny. He had a negative PIPM, negative 1.23, and he was a negative in the on-off stuff. We have seen at times when he's had opportunities, he puts up good fantasy numbers. At the end of last season, he was getting assists and rebounds and blocks and steals and hitting threes. And even at the beginning of this year, he was showing some form. But then a knee injury ruined his... a back injury ruined the end of his year. He hasn't played since the 6th of January. And I think long-term, when we're looking at Kenrick Williams, who is already 25... is he ever going to be in a top 10 of an NBA rotation? On this team, it's pretty tough. The three-point shooting just isn't there, 26% from three. And while we love what he does on the court, he can be a real impactful player. It didn't play out that way this season. The fantasy numbers dropped way off. Now, he still averaged 0.7 steals and 0.6 blocks in 22 minutes, which isn't a disaster. But, yeah, Kenrick Williams, I'm a little bit worried about where he fits in the NBA. That shooting just isn't good enough. Now, if he could develop into a 39% three-point shooter, putting him next to Zion Williamson would be really, really interesting as a 4 and Zion as a 5. But that just didn't happen for him. He can pass, he can defend, he can do quite a lot of things. And defensively, I think he's pretty good. But is he a guy that we want to bank on to ever have top 100 years? Probably not. I don't think we're at that level with Kenrick Williams just at this point. Let's go on to the next guy, a rookie who had all of the hype in the world, and that was Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I had people tell me that he was going to be the starting point guard for this team this year after a big summer league. He was not good. Let's phrase it that way. 41 games, 12 minutes, 5 points. He shot 34% from the field, 34% from 3, and 34% from 2. He was at 61% from the line, amazingly. He only played 2 games in the G League. He had under 2 assists per game. It just was not very good. Per 36, he averaged 15 points with 5 assists, under 1 steal. Encouragingly, he did take a lot of threes, over 8 attempts per 36, but he wasn't good. In the games where he got extended opportunities, we saw some flashes, an 11-4-6 game, a 9-1-4 in 24 minutes. But overall, wasn't the greatest. Now, he did have, again, if we want to talk about extended opportunities, on the 16th of November, he played 30 minutes and had 27 points with 6 threes. The next game, he played 35 minutes and had 19-5-4 with 5 threes. And then it just nothing went from there. He just couldn't do anything more. His PIPM was really poor. I think it'll be much better than that as we move forward. But I think the people who were crowning him the successor, the next all-star, the guy that's going to thrive next to Zion, were very much going too hard in that description. I believe I had him at... Now, he went pretty late in the draft, but I had him, I think, around 10 or 11 in my redraft of that draft. Or at the time, I think he had him at that similar sort of spot. And I think that's sort of fair. Again, really disappointing what he did for the majority of this season. But I'm not giving up hope on Alexander Walker. But I still think that by far that Lonzo Ball is the better option. Lonzo is not even 12 months older than Alexander Walker. I think it's like 11 or 10 months difference between them. So there's not that much of an age difference, despite the fact that Lonzo's been around for so much longer. Lonzo shot better than Alexander Walker this season as well. Now, I think Nickeil will get better. And he can be a solid guy to play either alongside Lonzo or backing him up and be a 23, 24 minute a night player or go to another team and be a starter. And that would make him, I think he can be a solid enough fantasy guy, but I don't think he's ever got top 20 or maybe even top 40 upside. I think he might top out as a top 70 player if he finds himself on another squad. Could he be a Jeff Teague type of a point guard? Maybe the thing we have to look at with him is his usage is so high already. So he's a very much of a scoring point guard with low assists. And if the shots don't go in, that really leads to problems with fantasy value. Look at Lonzo, who's not super efficient, but he's still going to be really good because he does everything else. Alexander Walker doesn't really do everything else and didn't really do everything else to that sort of degree in college either. So there are concerns there for him. He needs more defensive stuff. We need more assists from him. And we didn't get those numbers, unfortunately, from Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Let's go on to the next guy now. It is Frank Jackson, who was a second-round pick 2 years ago, missed his entire rookie season, came in last year when Jrue Holiday was out and put up some okay numbers. But realistically, he's not a point guard. He is a shooting guard who's probably too undersized to play that position, who hasn't shot the ball well. And that is not a combination of things that is great. He was the worst player on this team for wins added, for PIPM as well, a massive negative there, and a negative 4.7 in on-off, which was only... the only players worse than that were Okafor, Alexander Walker, and Nicolò Melli. And I think most of those we could understand. Maybe not Melli, but the other two makes more sense. He was not a good player, and I think that Alexander Walker is going to take that role pretty quickly. He averaged almost 6 points on a true shooting of 50%, 0.8 assists. Now, if we convert that to per 36, 2 assists per 36. For even as a shooting guard, that's shithouse. As a point guard, it's a disaster. He is not big enough to be a full-time shooting guard. He's not a good point guard to be a full-time point guard. He doesn't pass. He's a ball hog, and he's not a good enough shooter. As an offensive player, and defensively, he has his struggles as well. And it feels like I'm going in on Frank Jackson, and maybe I am. I just don't think that he is someone that, you know, is going to push for. Now, he's only 22 years of age, so he's still relatively young. There is some hope. But best case scenario, he is a fifth guard to me. Maybe fourth guard, but there are just things with his game as a high usage, low efficiency, poor distributing player who doesn't have great defense where it just goes, well, if he's my fourth best guard, what the hell's the point in playing him in that scenario? His good things aren't outweighing those bad things to a significant enough degree, which is unfortunate for him, but I just don't see it with Frank. I don't see it with him being a regular NBA rotation player as we move forward. The last guy I want to talk about is a two-way guy, and that's Zylan Cheatham. 24 years of age. We only got 3 NBA games out of Zylan this season, so it's hard to get a full idea of, you know, what we would have seen from him in the NBA. But he was very similar to me, I thought, like a Kenrick Williams, who showed some good numbers in college and probably should have been drafted, but didn't. And then we look at what he did in the G League, and I think that was impressive. 33 minutes, 16 and 12 as a 6'8" small forward, power forward. Only 33% from 3, 1 steal and 0.6 blocks, but a really, really strong rebounder with some okay advanced numbers, a true shooting of 65%, a PER of almost 19. I think he could have a year where he would push in and be a rotation player, maybe. Maybe he takes that from Kenrick Williams, but long term, not that guy that I think just needs this big opportunity to jump forward. I thought there was a chance for him to maybe be a rotation NBA player. I'm not convinced that's necessarily going to be the case as we move forward. That'll do it for me today, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Tomorrow, I'll be back with another NBA Draft scouting show looking at Isaac Okoro of Auburn, so check that one out. Give it a thumbs up on YouTube. Give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.